Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Husky Fan Podcast, the prediction edition for the Colorado game. I got my main bro, my best bro, Jimmy Cornell. Jimmy, brother, you're on the road, but you're kind enough to join us. Are you on the way home yet?
Getting there, buddy. Let's just get this thing over with, man. Husky football puts me in a bad mood. I was so miserable on the flight, I actually went listened to the Season is Over podcast because I wanted to be even further depressed about our program. So I tuned in and listened to it a second time to just let all the recruiting woes sink in, the special teams woes sink in, the coaching decisions sink in, especially when you make $4 million and you recruit 3D linemen in 4 years. I was just a glutton for punishment and pain today as United had to change a light bulb, which they could have either flown out in 20 minutes when the sun rose, or if they changed the light bulb, we'd leave in an hour and miss our connections. So they decided to go with, let's change the light bulb, so we had to sit an extra hour, and so I got my flight delayed. When we could have made it had they just waited for the sun to come up due to FAA regulation. So there you go. United is not a, I've never had a good experience in United. I'm done with them. Yeah.
In your opinion, is that just as bad as them dragging that doctor off the plane?
Oh. Well, I don't know if I can get it as that bad, but I tell you what, I hate United. I was unfortunately forced to fly them, but I will do everything in my power to avoid that airline. But on to more and more exciting things. We get to talk about an opportunity for Washington to get back in the win column after last week.
Fuck yeah, brother.
And what a better team to do it against than Colorado, the lowly Buffs.
Yeah, they are lowly because I've been reading on the internets, and it sounds like LaVisca Chenault might have a toe injury that's going to keep him out, and that guy has been, for lack of a better description, he's kind of been like their John Ross this season. And when you lose a guy like that, Colorado, I'm trying to get Bill, for some reason, Bill Connolly, his data on Colorado is not loading, which pisses me off. It's loading for like every other team. I do see that he has them ranked number 50. Looking at their.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, they did beat ASU by 7 at home. I saw part of the USC game last week. They lost by 11. I mean, they did, you know, they looked okay that game. I know Chenault went out towards the end of the game. They did play well against UCLA a couple weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I should say. They beat a bad Nebraska team. So they really, you know, people were kind of boofing over Colorado a couple weeks ago, but they really hadn't played anybody. And, you know, I think number 50 looks about right. I don't know the particulars of their game against ASU. I know we only beat them by 7, but as we discussed, I mean, we really outplayed them, you know, through the entirety of that game. So I wouldn't take much from that comparison. But, yeah, I mean, if they don't have Chenault, look, we were favored by, I think, 15 or 16 points. If they don't have Chenault, I don't see how they're going to score more than 17 points. You know, we'll factor in, we'll probably have a stupid turnover at the end of the game that lets them score. But I mean,
at the start of the game. Start of the game, we've been good at that one.
We're really really good defense, like minus the last drive and the first drive.
I'm just saying, y'all. Jake likes to we like to throw an interception to start the game, the double pass, the Oregon game. Thought there was another one.
But speaking of advanced metrics, I know you've probably seen this, but just to draw your ire again. So for S&P Plus, we are number 9 on defense. We're number 26 on offense.
Yeah.
And we're 123 on special teams.
Oh, yes.
And
what a beauty. Year 5.
But, Jimmy, because I was actually did some prep for this over the last half an hour because I didn't feel like doing my job. But I think the special teams is really affecting the offense, because when you kind of watch the offense this year and you compare it to last year, we're we're doing much better as far as explosive plays. You know, we're our third down conversions are right there. In the red zone and conference play, we're a tiny bit better this year, but it's still a problem. But looking at, you know, some of the one thing that's hurting us, and I think it's Gaskin's injury, is we're not getting as many explosive run plays this year as we did the last 2 years. So that's one difference. But the special teams, I mean, you look at Dante, I mean, all of his punt returns last year. You look at our field position where the offense is starting. I mean, that's abysmal. I have the Connolly's ranking for that, I think we're 75 or 80 or just something really horrible. And one thing that's also hurting is, and this is legitimate, our turnover luck is really bad this year. So according to Bill Connolly, in expected turnover margin, we're number 14, but in actual, we're 75. So that means our turnover luck on average is about minus 4 points per game. And in the Oregon game, it was minus 3.7. So I think the last 2 or 3 weeks, the defense has been, you know, they've been, I think, doing a little bit better job as far as being aggressive and trying to get turnovers. You know, maybe this week we'll start, you know, we'll start to see some of that luck kind of even out. But those are basically the things that are really hurting us. I think special teams are hurting the offense, making it more difficult to score. Turnover luck has not been good, and then we're not getting explosive run plays. So I know that was a mouthful, but where do you want to take
it? Yeah, it was a mouthful. Well, just to remind, Dennis made some points about, so the special teams under the regime of Peterson is that we've been spoiled by some of the best. Dennis pointed out Dante Pettis is the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time, masking our terrible special teams based on our coach who's all about the details. And then you had John Ross on kickoff return. So basically you had two, like, extremely elite athletes making plays for you in the special teams. And the fact is Pete has not made a kicker a priority, which blows me away for what he went through at Boise State. Like, it's just mind-blowing. Or, you know, Washington, I think, historically has had good kickers, but we just haven't really had great kickers of late. And the other piece, you know, the defense he was pointing out, and I think this is a really good point, and I don't think we've talked about it enough, is the fact, you know, that they, you know, just don't give up the big play, right? They want to have the offense play perfect against us. But if you are giving up big chunk plays on kickoff returns like you did against Oregon, then, you know, it makes it a lot harder on your defense to play that style of defense if they're at the 50 or your 40. And in regards to luck turnovers, we've dropped some interceptions. I mean, Rapp had that one in his hands against Oregon. So the fact is, that part is, again, like we talked at the start of the year, a walk-on kicker starting probably costs you a game. Now, we've seen that. Unfortunately, if you're in a tight game and your special teams fails you, because now they're just kicking the pooch kick to the corner because they've conceded to the fact that they don't have a good special teams. So, unfortunately, you are putting yourself at a real disadvantage, especially if you're playing in a close game. Maybe you don't have it. I mean, I think Washington should, you know, win all their games, but this is what scares me. If you find yourself in a tight game, you're flat, your special team sucks, your kicker sucks.
Well,
that's a recipe for another loss.
Well, let me stop you there. I got a couple things. One thing about turnovers is it's psychological. So, like, people will say, yeah, Rapp, you know, he dropped that interception, which I think he was down. I think he was down for a second or two before the ball came out. But anyway, that has a psychological impact on the other team. Even if you look at the game and you say, oh, well, you know, Oregon didn't score there and, you know, we didn't score on the next possession anyway, it still has a psychological impact on the other team. You know, when you're getting those turnovers, I mean, it makes, you know, it creeps into their psyche. So they're, even if they don't lead to points or there's no points after the drops and missed fumbles, it's still big not getting those turnovers. And I think you, in a previous podcast, you said, so I remember you said something about field goals, like if we get in the red zone, we probably should be okay. And it's just not to bring up the last game of the missed field goal, but that's basically where we remember. We were like at the 20 or the 21. We weren't quite there. So, I mean, we're going to have to, in these games in the future, we're going to have to go for it on fourth down unless we're clearly inside the 20, in my opinion. And my last comment, Jimmy, is looking at the special team stats, I mean, Bill Connolly has five. I'll just read all these quickly. He has five categories in special teams. Field goal value per kick, 104. Punt efficiency, 98. Kickoff efficiency, 96. Punt return efficiency, 95. Kick return efficiency, 90. So it's not like one part of the special team, you know, one or two parts are really bad. Every fucking part of it were ranked 90 or worse. The whole thing is an abomination. Did I lose you? Jimmy.
I'm here, buddy. I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were so upset you just chucked.
I was. You chucked
your phone out the window.
I was taking it all in and just. We did not feel like this was a playoff team. So it's just very difficult to see the team lose the way they have. And then the fact that they have so much experience, and granted, we know that Browning has limitations, and I'm over the Browning bashing because I just think it's pointless now.
I mean, statistically, he had a better – he outplayed Herbert last week. I mean, I know Herbert made a couple really great, huge throws, but statistically, he actually had a better game.
Yeah, his QBR rating was higher.
Go ahead. I don't want to put words in your
mouth. No, I'm just saying, I bumped into this Duck fan, and he's like, well, we missed a kick too, so we were even there. You know, we were just a better team.
That wasn't even fucking close.
It still stings. I don't care. It still leaves a little bad taste in my mouth, the whole way that game went down. And it's just, next year, we don't have to get into next year. It's just the fact is you're going to have some youth, you're going to have growing pains, and that's partly back to, attrition and not landing guys and not, paying attention to where it counts. So I think, at least there's plenty still to play for this team. I think that's the key. And frankly, Colorado, like you said, they don't seem to have a lot of playmakers. I think McIntyre will have him up. Like, I think they'll grind. I mean, Montez has a good arm. Like, I'm sure they'll make a few plays, but it's kind of like, they kind of remind me of BYU. No one that really scares you, at least offensively. They've given up some big plays in the passing game. The real story, though, for the weekend, Chess, is the fact that there's 100,000 people in Pullman. They've declared a state of emergency, and it's just mayhem, man. It's like the biggest game of the year of all of college football is going to happen in Pullman tomorrow, buddy. We're getting overshadowed by the Cougs.
I think the Cougs care more about game day being there than the actual game.
Yes, I think so. So it's an excuse to, drink that extra three beers on top of the 12.
I hate that drinking culture that Wazoo has. Well, just in general, but, the Wazoo.
I knew you were going to mention that.
No, I mean, these guys who are, like, middle-aged, they're like, oh, yeah, we lost the Apple Cup. Yeah, I just got hammered. I just got drunk. Like, who gets fucking drunk when you're, like, 40 years old, and you've been in the workplace for 15 years? Like, grow the fuck up. Fucking hate that shit.
Yeah. Touche.
Grow the fuck up and stop drinking Busch Light.
Yeah, and cover your mouth when you're coughing on a plane. That's another advice for you adults out there. It's disgusting.
You should
cover your mouth.
Next time you should wear a mask. You should get one of those.
Yeah,
do that. Seriously. I wanted to do that before my big Europe trip, but I forgot. Oh, by the way, do you have last travel question? Do you have the TSA pre-check?
No.
Oh, you got to get that. It's so easy to get. You just You go someplace, you pay like $80, and then you get it in the mail in like a week or two. I mean, it's you got to do that. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll get around to it.
I'm serious. Thanks. You're gonna get through security in like 5 minutes.
Well, you know, the key is if you know you go to busy travel time and they have the bomb dog out, you don't have to take anything out of your bag or take your jacket off. So.
Yeah, no, I hate taking. It's
you don't
ridiculous.
Have to worry about the shoes.
Yeah, no shoes, no belt, none of that shit. You just go through the machine, and you know, maybe they fill you up a little bit, but. You know, that's
all it should be.
Yeah, it's way faster, and you don't have to take anything off.
Yeah, but then all the TSA pre-check people would be pissed because they're seeing you get through just as fast as they are. And that's, you know, what am I paying this money for? I'm the special person. But I'll be special soon enough, just like you, Chest. I'll be special just like you.
Dude, you just got to get around to it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But I got bigger fish to fry before I get my TSA pre-check.
Everybody who's listening, get your TSA pre-check. You can thank me later. Thank me later.
What else do you
want
to talk about? Otherwise, we can give a prediction and get out of here.
Yeah, I'm trying to get this Colorado spreadsheet to load, but it's not loading.
And what is it going to tell you that you really need to know?
It's probably just going to confirm what we mostly believe about Colorado. I think the projected margin of victory, because I'm looking at is 15 points over Colorado. 81.
You think we'll come out?
Gives us an 81% win probability. I think we might come out a tiny bit flat, even though we shouldn't. I mean, I think the players had to know after the first couple games, like, we're not a playoff team.
Well,
we talked, I mean, people, I know that like it's great to like think about it at the beginning of every year and talk about it, but we're talking about the four best teams in the country. I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know, you're being a national.
Well, and the fact that you, yeah, I mean, that part of it too, I mean, I think if you beat Auburn and you beat Auburn and you didn't have Trey Adams, you didn't have Hunter Bryant, you know, I think, I don't know that changes their approach to Oregon, but, you know,
right.
I think if they beat Oregon, yeah, I think they probably have that kind of creeps into your mindset that the playoff is a possibility.
I mean, look, yeah, go ahead.
No, just because of the, obviously the attention the media would give it and all that.
Yeah. But. There's still everything to play for this season in my mind.
Yeah, oh for sure. I know you're a Rose Bowl guy, you don't care about the playoff, I know.
No, I do care about the playoff. I'm focusing my energy now on our major goal.
Well, hopefully the players are focusing on the goal like you are, Chess, and that, you know, every game counts moving forward.
It really does.
And if they win out. And if they went out, they play in the Pac-12 championship, and I think whoever they play in that game, they have a great chance to win and get a New Year's Six Bowl. I mean, all that's there.
Hopefully, we get Hunter Bryant back.
Yeah.
And DJ Beavers too.
Yeah, they need Beavers big time. That's for sure. We didn't mention too the fact that Jalen Johnson will be out for the first half of the Colorado game.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, just a reminder.
Yeah, I mean, I think we might come out a little flat. I think it's just hard not to after a potentially deflating loss at your rival when you have the game won.
In hand. Yeah, well, you didn't because you did leave 37 yards to a freshman walk-on kicker to finish out the game.
But he probably – and why didn't they center it? I mean, is that where Henry wanted it? Maybe he told Pete he felt comfortable.
Pete said they didn't have another play they liked and it was a setup they liked. So, I don't know. He must have felt good about it. But give the kid six, eight more feet. All you're looking for, and the way we were running, like I think how Coker put it was that we were leaning on them in the run game. I mean, that is just the fact. They were.
I mean, it's
they
it's,
were.
I understand that it's good clock management to run it all down. You don't give them a shot if you miss the field goal, but
yeah, but you
fresh. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Freshman kicker. You've still been moving the ball. You have two timeouts, so you can run the clock down to 15 or 20 seconds and run a couple more plays.
Yeah, and the fact is that.
And even at that,
you could still you could run the. I mean, you'd force Cristobal to take a timeout too. There, you could spike the ball. I mean, you had a lot of choices.
And even
a couple more yards, you could have forced Mario to call a timeout. He wouldn't have had three timeouts to ice Peyton if it came down to that. I mean, there's so many scenarios.
I don't want to say it's equally as bad, but we also have to look at the defense. I mean, 3rd and 11. Because if they don't get. If they don't convert there, they're looking at a field goal from a kicker who just completely missed the one before. Like, it wasn't even close. So, right. I mean, that's a real – like, if you're an Oregon fan, like, you're thinking, holy shit, like, we got to get – we got to at least get, like, 6 or 7 yards here. You know, we
can't
don't
do it.
We can't have this guy kicking, like, a 43-yard field goal. So that's another.
No, you can't give up 3rd and 11 there. You can't do it.
Yeah.
They didn't get it done. They didn't get it done. They lost. You know, now they got to wait till next year for payback. All right. I just feel like we're rehashing that game. Do we want to get into anything else? Want to make a prediction? I'm ready to get out of here.
Hold on. I got some questions for you.
Let's hammer this out, man.
Are we ever going to have a pod where you're – That's not one of the where you're going to say, let's keep going.
I mean, I've forced you to have to call it, you know, mail it in a couple times.
Right. Okay. What's the over under on couch burnings in Pullman Saturday night?
Oh, I think there'll be 3 couch burnings. There'll be at least 3.
Which team will score the most points? I'll take your answer off the air. Yeah, we'll get to that when we're done. Here's an interesting question. Which of the former UW football coaches is most likely to have listened to your podcast or the Season Is Over podcast? And what will their honest reactions be? And when will we ever get to hear Road Dog again? Well, Roadie's welcome back whenever. Hopefully
you'll never hear Roadie ever again.
Hopefully he can make like a yearly appearance.
No, he'll never appear again.
We did have him back a couple times.
What? I know, but it's not going to happen again. I'd love to have him on, but it's just not in the cards. It's not going to happen.
Which of the former?
I don't know about former coaches. I have no idea, and I think their opinion would be that we're Looney Tunes and moron fans. Coaches hate fans. They think we're idiots.
Yeah, as far as
count anything would have anyone say.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about assistant coaches or head coaches? I could see Dick Baird maybe at one point.
No, never.
No.
Never.
Well, we did have Jimmy Lake on, so.
Well, we did. That was before. I doubt Jimmy's ever tuned into our podcast.
That's never going to happen again. We'll have him back or another coach.
No, that will never happen again. No.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you see like Gilby listening to podcasts? I just can't see coaches doing that.
No. No, none, zero. All right, what's next? All right,
we're just let's get to the prediction, bro.
All right, you want me to go first?
Sure.
I think we win 38-16.
Nice. I hope we score that many points. I'm going to give one more shot to see if this spreadsheet will load. Damn it, Bill. What's wrong with your shit here? So I think...
Make your prediction.
I think, yeah, Bill's system has us winning, I think, 35 to 20. I'm going to say 31 to 13.
Oh, I like that.
And what, Jimmy, what do you want to see aside from a big victory? Like, what specifically you want to see from this team to make you more confident for the rest of the season?
I knew you were going to rope me into more. Unbelievable. I mean, dude, let's just, you know, clean game, clean pocket, improved special teams, which I don't think is going to be the case. Just finish business and get through the game healthy and get ready for what Stanford's next?
At Cal.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry. At Cal. Yeah. Play a sound game, you know, get a tune up for Cal. And, you know, I mean, if those freshmen play, obviously that'll be interesting, to see, their impact. So I think that'll be, you know, key to see how those guys, cause they're going to need more help up front. They can't lean on John Clark on the line. So I think those will be interesting, things to keep in mind or watch out for the game.
Yeah, I want to see, improve special teams. I want to see the offense score more points. I want to see the running game bust out. And I also want to see some turnovers. That would be good.
Yeah, sure.
Any final words, brother? I'm in agreement.
Just win, baby. Get back on the winning track and do it in style.
And can we just say that we're not rooting for Wazoo. We're rooting for an Oregon loss.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, Fetters had some thing. Oh, is the state of Washington aligned? They're all rooting against Oregon. He had some poll on Twitter. Like, buddy, fuck no. We're just rooting for Oregon to lose. That doesn't mean we're rooting for Wazoo.
No. No. Absolutely not. All right, brother.
All right, buddy. Good work. Are you going to the game?
Yes.
Awesome. Maybe, are you going to have a little tailgate? I think I'm going to get some breakfast at Burger Master if I have enough time.
And there'll be no tailgate, but I'll keep you abreast of my plans.
Are you going with your beloved father?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
Awesome.
Yes, yes. You going with Mrs. Chest?
Yes, I think so.
Awesome.
And, yeah, I'm looking forward to a nice game, nice day.
Absolutely. Fall crisp afternoon.
Crisp fall.
A little breeze air in the air. Crisp fall with the leaves changing. Yes. All those special things.
Hopefully a get right victory for our dogs.
There you go. That's right.
All right.
All right. Go Huskies.
We both said at the same time. All right. Go Dogs, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye.